Continuing this morning with this series of the Bible's best life hacks. These are practical nuggets of wisdom that the Bible has given to us so that we might live better. God was the designer of life, right? So who would know better than he knows how it was meant to work and how it's supposed to work? You want to know how your life's supposed to work? Go straight to the source. Go straight to the guy who designed it. Today, specifically, what we're going to look at is parenting hacks. I think I wrote on the bulletin, or I had Kelly type in, exercising parental discipline. More on those words in a little bit. Basically, we're talking about parenting hacks. So if you're not a parent, you can get up and go home. We're good. No. We got a little something for everybody here today. The Bible is full of parenting hacks. But of course, YouTube is also full of parenting hacks. And so before we look at scripture, I thought we'd begin with the ridiculous and move to the sublime. So Molly, could you play for us? These are just some of YouTube's best parenting hacks. Still got the scars on her. Still know your old phone number there. That's kind of YouTube's best wisdom for parenting. So let's go a step deeper here. I hope you're not too surprised to know that the Bible's primary concern isn't whether or not your kid's orange juice spills. That's not where we're going to be today. The Bible is far more concerned with what kind of people are our children becoming. Parents have the most important role in that process. And the word that the Bible uses to describe that parental role in how our children are being shaped, the word that the Bible uses is discipline. And some of us, I think, are a little bit scared of the word discipline, especially as it pertains to parenting, because we think immediately of spankings. We think of timeouts. We think of angry lectures where mom and dad just blew their top and went nuts and screamed and yelled. And the word that we're going to look at today encourages us that all of those things need not be the case. We're going to talk about discipline today the way the Bible talks about discipline. And in order to do that, we need to begin by understanding that this word discipline comes from the very same word as the word disciple. Right? Do you see how those two words are similar? So when we talk about discipline, we're not talking first and foremost about spankings and timeouts and angry lectures and things like that. We're talking about the discipleship process. Often the word discipline in the Bible is often synonymous with instruction, and it includes as well the word correction. The idea of discipline is that we are shaping someone, we are forming someone, we are molding someone. And so I want to look at how the Bible describes the importance of parental discipline. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 tells us, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." And then several chapters later in Proverbs chapter 23, a similar scripture tells us, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they won't die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death." Okay, everybody in the room just heard that with 21st century ears, right? And we're like, rod? Seriously? so the Bible says we're supposed to beat our kids. Is that what that's all about? We need to just put a big time out there. That's not what's going on. I wanted to open with that today so that I can make sure we're all on the same page. Did you enjoy it? If you punish them with the rod, it's not like they're going to die. Right? We need to take very seriously the issue that we're all aware of is that, you know, there are inappropriate bounds to physical punishment. And we all know the stories of children that literally have died because of that. Okay, we need to be sober when we remind that. But that is not to say that the Bible is old and antiquated and out of date and telling us if your kids misbehave, just beat them. Right? I think a lot of people might read those verses and they think, oh, that's the problem. But remember, the whole premise of what we're doing in this Life Hack series is saying the Bible actually isn't antiquated and out of touch and out of date. It's giving us insightful wisdom into how we were all designed. That wisdom is coming from the designer himself, and it's showing us some things. So let's deal just briefly, before I even get started today, with this word rod, because we're going to encounter it a few times. The Bible is not telling us that the proper way to discipline our children is with corporal punishment. Now, in the context, in the historical context, in the cultures in which those words were written, and you heard in the first verse, whoever spares, we say that, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. That line comes from the ancient Near East in a number of cultures, not just the Bible. That saying is an ancient saying. And certainly in those cultures, in many cases, it would have been taken literally because corporal punishment was kind of the way things went in those cultures. So without us getting into the weeds of saying, you know, they were wrong, we were right, we were right, they're wrong, something like that, let's just acknowledge, yeah, there were ancient peoples. There have been modern peoples who have taken those words very literally. Many of us grew up in a culture, myself included, where the stigma about spanking kids was not nearly what it is today. Okay, those things have changed. But before we just say, it's a matter of culture, it's out of touch, this, that, or the other thing, I also want to point out this. In the Bible, this idea of the discipline with the rod is often also used metaphorically. And I think it's okay for us to understand it that way. Perhaps nowhere better than in a passage of scripture that many of us have heard hundreds and hundreds of times, the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We read down to verse 4 in there, and we say to God, your rod and your staff bring me comfort, right? Your rod and your staff comfort me, okay? That's not a different rod. It's the same rod. The rod was the rod of discipline that the shepherd would use to kind of give the sheep a nudge or sometimes a little whack, right? If they were going the wrong way. The rod was the thing, the instrument of discipline that a shepherd could use. And that is saying to God who gives us discipline, when you discipline me, it brings me comfort. It brings me comfort, okay? But I don't think any of us would recite that psalm and have the image in our mind, God, when you smack me upside the head, it feels so good, right? That's not what we're saying in a literal sense. We're just recognizing the importance of discipline, and we're recognizing the blessing that comes with discipline. So that's kind of my disclaimer about those two words that I think are difficult for us, discipline and rod. We're going to talk about those two things, but I hope that we can all be on the same page as we understand them. My intent today, all of that being said, my intent today is not to tell you what method of discipline your children require. I don't feel that that's my place. I don't feel that that's really what the Bible is primarily concerned with. I don't think that's the intent. I don't think the Bible is saying timeouts are better than spankings. I don't think the Bible is saying spankings are better than timeouts. That's not where we're going to be today. Rather, I think the Bible wants to show us that discipline itself is a good thing, and that there are life hacks here that can help us implement discipline properly, that can help us exercise parental discipline so that the lives of our children are improved and even our lives will benefit. And those life hacks for parents begin this way. We have to understand that all children require discipline. We have to understand that all children require discipline. Parents are going to enjoy this one. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 tells us, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Look at that verse. There is no qualification there as to what kind of child is prone to folly, right? It's not saying folly is bound up in the heart of those really bad kids. You know the ones I'm talking about. Folly is bound up in the children of single parent homes. Folly is bound up in boys, but girls are all right. Or vice versa, right? There's no qualification there. It is saying folly is, but if you're a kid, then there is foolishness in your heart. That's what that's saying. If you are a kid, there is foolishness in your heart. That's just the way that it is. All children are given to folly. Now, we live in a world, in the culture that we live in today, we live in this world that often tells us that proper parenting involves letting the children make up their own minds, letting them kind of discover who they are and who they need to be as they grow up. And that gets applied, I see it applied a lot of different ways, probably nowhere more so than religion, right? We're gonna let the kids decide how they wanna worship and what they think about God. That's a whole other thing, but I just couldn't even help myself from mentioning that today, okay? We live in a world where there's a lot of voices telling us that the proper way to discipline kids is to just kind of give them a lot of room and let them experience life and make and form their own decisions. There's a problem with that. The Bible says that just plain old does not work. Sometimes we're prone to presume that some children need a lot of discipline and the good ones hardly need any of all. And some of you parents with multiple children are thinking, yeah, I know which ones they're talking about, right? But that's not what the Bible says. God tells us that all children require discipline, perhaps in different method, in different style, in different shapes, in different times, in different unique circumstances. But the point is, all children require discipline. And there is a theological reason for that. There is an important God-centered reason for that fact that Christian parents, Christian moms and dads need to know and remember. The reason is this: children are born already affected by sin. In our world, we use the word innocent a lot to refer to kids and babies. But from a theological standpoint, from understanding what the condition of our spirit really is, we need to understand that children aren't innocent. They aren't born innocent. We were born, every one of us, already infected with the sin virus. We were, as the Bible said, prone to folly, to foolishness, right? Without discipline, foolish choices are inevitable because that's who we were born to be. And I knew I wasn't going to get too far into a sermon about discipline without telling you about my brothers. And so here we are on foolish choices, and I want to introduce you to my brothers. Tony and Andy are 11 years younger than I, almost 11 years younger than I am. And when they were in grade school, the prevailing school of thought, the prevailing philosophy in the school district where they attended was that a lot of the spelling tests and spelling bees that we did when I was their age, those were restrictive for children. The inhibitions about, did I spell this word right, made it difficult for them to write and express themselves in writing. And the philosophy was that it was far more important to get kids to just write, to just get them to write and not have to be worried about, did I spell this right or did I spell it wrong? And so when my brothers were in early grade school, they didn't do spelling tests. They didn't learn spelling at all. They didn't do that. And the philosophy was, as they just get writing and they get exposed to the world around them and they're exposed to literature, they're going to kind of by osmosis figure that out for themselves, and they're going to end up, you know, adequate spellers. And my brothers are in their mid-30s today, and neither one of them can spell to save their life. I don't think they know how to spell my name. They just, if it's more than one syllable, they're going to spell it wrong. I promise you, every time. Because, and I see a lot of parents of children of that generation nodding their heads, right? Our kids can't spell. Because this idea that, we'll just let them do it, and then as they're exposed to the broader world, they'll pick up the spelling habits that they need by reading and being exposed to it. They'll figure it out. This idea, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because left to their own devices, children will continue to make foolish choices. They will continue without discipline, what the Bible would say, without correction, without getting a few wrong on your spelling test. You're never going to learn to spell by yourself. It doesn't just happen. No matter how wonderful No matter how intuitive we may believe our children to be, the Bible says no child is ever just going to magically figure it out for themselves. All children require instruction. All children require correction. All children require discipline. And that sounds like a downer, doesn't it? It sounds like the Bible's like, children aren't that smart. Boy, do they need a lot of help, right? That's not a pessimistic outlook on children. It's actually the opposite of that, and I'm going to show you why. The Bible actually is saying that because it sees the discipline sees that no child is a lost cause. That's why we have discipline. It's because no child is a lost cause. Check out Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. That's the word picture we get for a parent's unwillingness to exercise discipline, is being a willing party to the death of our children. That's a hopeless situation. When we withdraw discipline, when we remove discipline, that's the hopeless situation. But discipline is an affirmation that no child is without hope. No child is a lost cause. The encouraging word for parents, all parents here, is discipline works. God says that discipline works. He says it works on all children. No child is a lost cause. Now, of course, we have to be wise. We have to be creative. We have to be discerning in choosing how to implement proper types, proper techniques of discipline. But God is saying the bottom line here, mom and dad, is that all children are capable of responding positively to discipline. No child is a lost cause. God knows because he designed every one of them. He knows how their circuit boards work. And he's saying, I put it on their hard drive that every kid is going to be able to respond positively to discipline. Now this, I think, is especially important for the non-parents, those of you who are about to get up and leave when I started, because there's a lot of non-parents in this room. But look at this. Every one of us, whether we are a biological parent or not, whether we're currently raising children or maybe that season of our lives has passed, no matter where we are, every one of us has a role to play in the instruction that of the children that God has given us. And especially for the non-parents in the room, far be it from any of us to ever refer to a child as hopeless or impossible or unteachable, because God has already said otherwise. He has already said in discipline there is hope. There is hope. So we need to stop seeing discipline as a negative for our kids and start seeing it the way the Bible describes it. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And some of us might be surprised to find out that the Bible says that the blessing isn't just for the kid, right? Proper discipline adds value to both child and parent. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Now there's a connection here, and the connection is between a parent's willingness to discipline and the blessings that they're going to receive as a parent. Too often we fail to see the benefits we reap in our lives when we're willing to exercise discipline. We don't see it as parents as a way that we're adding value to our own lives. Here's why this works. And again, I want us to understand the theology behind it. Mom, dad, your child isn't yours. Your child is not yours. Your child is a gift from God. And even if the child that you're thinking of right now isn't biologically yours, let's say you're one of those non-parent adults. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a family member. Maybe you're a step-parent. Maybe you're part of a blended family. Maybe you're some other trusted grown-up. Maybe you're just a grown-up in that child's church family, right? Whatever your relationship is to that child belongs to God. That child belongs to God. And God chooses to entrust his precious children to really surrogate parents, right? Foster parents of a sort. That's what every one of us are. We're caretakers. We're stewards for a season. And God has entrusted his precious children to us. Now, children are like any other resource that God has given to us, any other blessing that God has given to us. It's our job to take care of them on his behalf, as he would have it. And we have to expect that at some point, we're going to return those kids to him. And when we do, he's going to examine our efforts. He's going to bless us according to the measure in which we did what he asked us to do. Let me tell you what I'm thinking about here. Jesus told a lot of different stories about how God had given gifts to his people. And when I think about those stories, a lot of times we read those and we think about abilities that we have, or we think about them and we think about like finances that we have. But I believe the principle of those stories applies just as well to us parents when we think about the children that we have. Okay? There's a number of different stories like this, but you might recall stories of, you know, the master giving out resources to his servants and then going away for a while and telling the servants, you take care of these resources, you invest them, you do what you need to do. And then the master comes back and the servants are called into account for what they've been given. And in those stories, no matter how they go, there's a few different versions, a few different nuance differences in the Bible, but you know the stories. When they come back, the servants that did the job they were supposed to do, that caused their resources to grow, right? They were blessed for what they had done. And the servants that said, yeah, we were worried about how to do it exactly the right way, so we hid it and we kind of didn't do anything, but here's all your money back. Those servants weren't blessed, right? They lost out on what the master had for them. And I believe parenting is a little bit like that. God's giving us, you know, God's giving us his children and saying, I want you to grow these kids into the people they were meant to be. I want you to help them to flourish. I want you to help them to experience increase and abundance. And I'm going to call you into account for that someday. And those parents that discipline, disciple, foster that growth are going to receive a blessing when they do it. That's what I'm thinking about here. Now, the last few parenting hacks that I want to highlight are a little bit more specific than that. We've been talking a lot about philosophy of discipline, but here are some real how-tos on what this looks like. And here's one that speaks to a mistake that I think a lot of parents are prone to make. Don't neglect discipline in an attempt to make peace. Don't neglect discipline in an attempt to make peace. I hear parents say a lot of times, well, you know, we're struggling in this particular area, but I've got to choose my battles. I got to choose my battles. And they're talking about arguments they have with their kids. Or they say, like, man, I'd like them to do such and such, but, you know, the fight I get into, the pushback I get, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Now, I want to affirm that certainly there are individual circumstances in parenting where we have to be wise on kind of the flex, the give and take of the relationship parent to child, right? I'm not saying we need to raise up a generation of biblical hardline parents here. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think we need to be careful when we start to hear ourselves say those things again and again, like, I got to pick my battles, or I'm not going to die on that mountain, or it's just not worth it. When we start to say those things again and again as parents, are we really using wisdom, or are we beginning to verge into the territory of just copping out? Like, I'm gonna step back because I want to preserve the peace. Look at what the Bible says about that. Proverbs chapter 29. Discipline your children, and then they'll give you peace. Like, you want peace in your home? Here's the path to peace. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. The peace that we desire in our families is a product of our willingness to exercise discipline as parents. And when we forego discipline, we don't increase the peace. We actually increase the chaos, and we increase the pain. I want to tell you about, I'm thinking about a particular neighbor of ours. And I'm going to tell you this story, and I think every homeowner in the room is going to know, oh, I have a neighbor like that, right? And every suburban homeowner has a neighbor like the one I'm about to describe. There's neighbors that live across the way from Sue and I that keep an immaculate lawn. They're retired, so all day, any time of day, they can be out there mowing, and they both do it, husband and wife. They're out there mowing, they're out there trimming, they're out there manicuring. When it snows, they're the first ones out with the shovels, because God forbid there should be a snowflake on their driveway, right? One of my favorites, we notice like late every summer, you know, just as we're getting into the autumn and the breezes are just starting to pick up, but the leaves are still on the tree. Sue and I always say, like, we expect to see them running around with buckets, trying to catch, like, there's a leaf coming, gotta get it, because you don't want any leaf to touch that lawn. You know the neighbors I'm talking about, right? We love them. They already lived there when we moved in. And when we moved in, man, I would watch them. I remember early one spring watching them go out, and it's like, it's still like 40 degrees out there, and they're trimming up the lawn already and trimming the bushes and spreading some stuff over it. And I'm like, man, they got too much time on their hands. And I watch them through the front window, and they're doing all sorts of stuff. I don't even know what they're doing out there, right? And then we'd get into the heat of summer, and my lawn and the other neighbor's lawns, the dandelions would come up, the weeds would come out, the crabgrass all over there. I'm out there trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? Just trying to pull those weeds. It's 95 degrees out. It's like, it's hard work. And meanwhile, my neighbors across the street, they're inside sipping their lemonade because their lawn looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. All of us have neighbors like that, I think, here in the suburbs. The hardest part of their job in the heat of the summer, the hardest part of their job is long since over. Doing the difficult work early yields the results we're looking for. But when we ignore the difficult work, when we postpone the difficult work, it causes things to be a lot more difficult. Much less peace in the long run. Most of what we've been talking about thus far just encourages us to exercise discipline. We have to know how to do that, right? We can make a lot of mistakes if we don't discipline well. The Bible gives us some reminders of what proper discipline should look like. One of the most important reminders is that tender discipline encourages growth. Tender discipline is the kind that encourages growth. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children. Leave that to your wives." No, wait. No, that's not at all. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure we were all still awake. "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged," right? And clearly the reference to fathers here applies to mothers, and it applies to stepdads, and it applies to grandmas, and it applies to grandpas, and it applies to adults of all sorts as they interact with the children that they've been entrusted with. Fathers, parents, grown-ups, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Check this. The goal of discipline is to promote growth. That's why we discipline. We are trying to promote growth. Remember, discipline isn't about spanking when the kids have been misbehaving. Discipline is related to discipleship, and that's what disciples do. They grow, right? The goal of discipline is to promote growth. What kind of discipline is going to promote growth? Well, the Bible says that tender discipline is the kind that works best at promoting growth. Harsh discipline, the kind that embitters kids, just discourages them. They don't grow. Tender discipline is the kind that promotes growth. Now, let me be quick to say this. Here's another area where we can't just say it and then assume we got it down. We need a lot of wisdom as parents to discern what does tender discipline look like in this circumstance. Because tender discipline usually doesn't feel very tender to the person who's receiving it, right? We can't let our kids decide, "You're being too rough on me," right? We can't let our kids decide the difference between tender and harsh. And I'm not just yakking here, okay? I didn't pull references, but I encourage you to go home and do your own biblical study on discipline. The Bible's going to tell you again and again, discipline, even the best kind of discipline, even God's discipline, even the most tender discipline, rarely feels good to the person who's receiving it, right? So parents, we can't let our kids be the one who are trying to make, "Oh, you know, Dad, you're just being too rough on me. If you ease up like Pastor said, I'll grow, right? That's why we're having this sermon while the kids are in kids' church, right? We don't want to give them any bad propaganda. okay? But we do need wisdom in determining, like, is the discipline that I'm enacting or that I'm exercising as a parent here, is this tender or is this harsh? Am I doing this with the end in mind that I'm promoting my child's growth? Or am I just kind of losing my temper here, losing my mind, blowing my top? What's going on here? The Bible affirms that even tender discipline isn't usually fun for the one who receives it, but it is the kind of discipline that we need to act if we're going to help our kids to grow. I'm thinking about my lawn again, right? I'm thinking about my lawn. I'm thinking about those weeds that come up in the lawn. I saw my neighbors, you know, out there spreading the weed and feed early in the season. So season number two of living in the house, I got wise to it. And I thought, man, their lawn looked good. I was out like a dope last July trying to pull weeds. I don't want to be doing that again. So I'm going to do what they do. So I'm getting some weed and feed. I even asked them what brand they were using. So I spread the weed and feed, you know, get out there, spread that around. And it says right there on the bag, you know, use this much. And I thought, well, if a little's good, a lot is better, you know, because I need to catch up with them. You know, my lawn is in bad shape. So I kicked that stuff on real good the first year.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah. Homeowners in the room, you know how that goes. Too much fertilizer, you just burn your lawn right out. I remember I was thinking of my dad when I was putting this. Just this morning, this story came to mind too. He was helping us when we moved in, and he was working on that. The folks that lived there before didn't take good care of the lawn, so we had a lot of weeds. And I remember I was at work one day, and he was over helping Sue get the house together and stuff, and he found a bottle of the spray weed killer. And he's like, I'm going to take care of this. And he went into our front lawn, and he's whoosh, 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 you know, getting all the weed. He was using Roundup. So, that doesn't just kill weeds. It kills everything. Do you remember, sir? We had big old spots everywhere Dad had tried to kill a weed. You know, he was just like, I dumped a lot of that stuff in there, you know. It kills everything. Here's the point, right? Discipline is like that weed and feed. You need to have the right amount so that it's tender. If it's tender, what's weed and feed going to do? What's fertilizer going to do? It's going to promote growth, right? Now, I imagine if you're a blade of grass, it still doesn't feel good because there's chemicals in there that are kind of harsh and wake you up a little bit early in the morning, right? But they get you growing. But if the gardener puts too much of that stuff on, or he puts the wrong kind on, or he just sprays whatever all over, it doesn't promote your growth. It kills you. It cuts you back. And the whole season long, the lawn looks terrible. Tender discipline is the kind that encourages growth. We need wisdom about knowing where that line is. Where's the tender discipline? Where's the harsh? Now, when we discipline, we have to keep in mind what we're doing. And a lot of times we think of discipline in terms of punishment, like we said, punishment for wrongdoing, right? But the Bible tells us that parental discipline has a much bigger perspective than that. We need to think of discipline in terms of teaching habits. That's what discipline is all about. It's teaching habits. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they won't turn from it. Some of you that know the Proverbs already knew this one. And if you're a parent, especially a parent of grown children, you were hoping I wasn't going to bring this one up, because it's been used the wrong way too many times. And I want to address that. I know there's a lot of us in this room that have heard that verse before. Train the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's kind of the old version that we all committed to memory. The New International Version says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. We've heard that verse, and we've been told. So that means that if you do everything right when your kids are young, it's a hard and fast, lock it in guarantee that when they're grown-ups, they're not going to be dopes. And then our kids grow up, and they're dopes. And the only logical conclusion is, well, I must have screwed them up. Because if I had done it right when they were young, there wouldn't be a problem, right? Because God said. That's not what this verse says. And if that's part of the weight or the burden that you as a parent have lived with, then you need to hear God's grace today, right? He's a good, good father. Did we say that today? You need to have that burden lifted from you. I hope if you get nothing else from today's message, you walk out of here without that burden. Because that is not what this verse says. This verse recognizes how habits work. That's what it's doing. It's saying the habits we learn early have the potential to be life-altering. And so if we think of discipline in those terms, right? If we think of discipline in terms of what habits am I onboarding to my child, then we're disciplining in accordance with what God's word says. Childhood is the best opportunity we have to learn good habits. A lot of us that exercise, I shouldn't say us there, a lot of you that exercise every day because you started doing it when you were a kid or you're a teen. You just don't know any other way of living. A lot of us that read our Bibles regularly learn that early, maybe not in our literal childhood, but in our infancy in the Lord, right? And we just don't know any other way. Habits developed early have the potential to be life-altering. Now, we already recognize that none of us as kids, if we're just left to our own devices, are very likely to just magically discover good habits. That's where discipline comes in. Children need discipline in order to discover and develop the lifelong habits that will serve them well. I think a great application here for parents is as we're disciplining our kids, you know, stop and think. Am I showing my child a habit that I want them to have for the rest of their life? Is that what's going on here? And if not, maybe we need to rethink the way we're interacting with them in that moment. As parents, we would do well to remember that the discipline we exercise shouldn't be motivated by our own embarrassment when our kids act out. Like, oh, I can't believe they did that in public. I'm gonna discipline them. It can't be motivated by our own desire to get just finally some peace and quiet in the house. It can't be motivated by any one of the hundreds of other things that sometimes drive all of us as parents to say it's time to discipline that kid. Rather, we need to be focused on helping our children develop the kinds of habits that are going to serve them throughout their lifetime. Let's wrap it up with this. We need to acknowledge that it can seem difficult to know what habits we're supposed to be helping our kids develop, right? Because the values of our culture and the world we live in, it's a quickly moving target, people. Some of you, maybe a generation ahead of me, grew up in an era where the rule of thumb was children should be seen but not heard. And even when I grew up, I certainly grew up with the thought that being polite to a grown-up meant never saying anything bad about a grown-up. Kids were not on the level where we were encouraged to talk about grown-ups, where we were encouraged to talk in the presence of grown-ups. That was part of what it was to be well-behaved and polite. Today, though, in this day and age, we've learned some of the mistakes that causes, some of the harm that's been done to kids because we didn't teach them to speak up, right? Today, we encourage our children to speak their minds. There is no stigma on the tattletale the way there was when I was a kid because we have recognized as a culture, sometimes our kids need to tell us exactly what's going on. Right? And so we have phrases like, if you see something, say something, right? That value has changed in the matter of our lifetimes and what we teach our kids. And so it can be hard for parents. That's just one of many examples. It can be hard for parents, like, what am I supposed to be teaching my kid? What habits are we even talking about here? Because life changes, the world changes, culture changes, the rules of childbearing change, child rearing change, the law changes. Am I even allowed to spank my kid anymore, right? And it can be very, very tough for any of us to keep up because of all the changes. But you know what never changes? God's word never changes. God's word never changes. And so God wants us to remember that the Bible should be our guidepost for discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, tells us all scripture, and if you want, put in parentheses there, even the boring parts, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for, check this list out, it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Doesn't that sound like discipline? Doesn't that sound like parenting? It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that that servant of God that he has entrusted you with may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scripture is useful for raising kids so that they are prepared for the good works that God has for them. It's not in your notes, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that God has prepared good works for you. Mom and Dad, that means God has prepared good works for your kids to accomplish in their lifetimes. And it's your job, Mom and Dad, to prepare them for that. And here's the hack saying, you know, James Dobson and what to expect in the toddler years and all those other resources that we have are fine and well, and they can be helpful if used wisely. But it's the Word of God that gives us the guideposts we need to raise our kids. Every child you've ever met was created by God for this purpose, to bear the image of God Himself. Children, just like grown-ups, right? Like all human beings, were designed by God to look like God. But sin has infected each of us. Remember, before we were even born, the viral load was at capacity in us. Before we were even born, sin infected each of us. So that godly image was marred. It was distorted. It was harmed. And that's why the Bible says that folly is bound up in the heart of children. But the purpose of discipline is to undo the damage that sin has done, right? To help that child realize the purpose that they were designed for, to bear God's image. Sometimes we put it this way, to look like Jesus. And sometimes we adults need to be reminded that discipline isn't about teaching table manners or punishing bad behavior or just trying to finally get some peace and quiet during nap time. Discipline is a matter of spiritual warfare. With God's help, every one of us, and especially the parents in the room, has been assigned this task of undoing the damage that sin has done. So raising children well is literally a matter of doing battle with Satan himself. Do we see that today? Raising children well is literally a matter of doing battle with Satan himself. And if I recognize that that's the battle I'm in as a dad, you know what weapon I want for that battle? I want the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? I'm grateful that there are parenting help books at the bookstore. I'm grateful that there are seminars I can go to. And I don't mean to be trite about that. I really am grateful because we can seek wisdom. I'm grateful that there are good parents in my church family that I can look and learn and learn from. But man, I'm not going to that battle without my sword. Right. I'm not going into that battle without the Word of God. The Bible needs to be our guidepost for discipline because it's the only weapon equal to the task of undoing the work that Satan has done through sin. And moms and dads, I guess I already said this, so I can't say it again. If you get nothing else from this sermon today, I want you to go home and parent your kids as an act of violent spiritual warfare. Don't blow your top at your kids, but scream and holler at Satan, right? Recognize the battle that you're fighting. And with that in mind, we're going to move to conclusion, but I want to do it this way. We love families in this church, right? Come in all shapes and sizes, but I feel like today, I just want us as a church family to love and support and encourage parents in the room. So I'm going to ask you, if you're a mom or a dad, and you define that however you want, but I'm speaking especially to grown-ups who still have kids under their roof. If you're a grown-up that has a kid under your roof, whether it's your own child, stepchild, would you just stand up? If it's a grandchild, whatever it is, but would you just stand up if you're a grown-up that still has kids under your roof? It can be, again, blended families, grandmas, grandpas. They come in all shapes and sizes here at HRCC, right? I'm going to ask the rest of you to just kind of surround these parents. Parents, somebody's going to come around behind you. They're going to put a hand on your shoulder as we just together begin to pray for you. All right? So two things. One is, this wasn't a sermon for only a few people in the room. Right? We all have responsibility here. We're all part of, God uses family language for a reason, right? But we recognize that in this particular in this particular realm, it's the households. It's the moms and dads in the households that are on the front line of this battle, right? And so we've just surrounded you, mom and dad, today because we want to lay hands on you and we want to ask God's empowerment over you and in you. Maybe you didn't even realize. Maybe you didn't even realize the significance of the battle that you're in. Just begin to pray with me. Father, our hearts are for our kids. Our hearts are for our children today. Our hearts are for the gifts that you have given us and you have entrusted to us. And so as I look around this room and I just have the privilege of looking into the eyes of my brothers and sisters today, I see moms and dads that have labored. They have labored. Lord, I see moms and dads that have been faithful to what you've asked them to do. I see moms and dads who have fallen, who have made their mistakes, and they recognize that and they know that. But Lord, just as we talked about today, you are everlasting and you are good. So our prayer today, as we surround each other, our prayer today is that you would empower and equip moms and dads. That you would empower and equip the parents that are part of our church family. Lord, that they would exercise parental discipline the way, Lord, that you discipline us, that they would be loving moms and dads. I pray, Lord, that you would give us, and I use us language right now because I'm one of them, God. I pray that you would give us wisdom as we disciple our kids. I pray that you would give us wisdom in knowing how to train them. I pray, Lord, that you would give us self-control when we want to lose our minds. I pray that you would give us self-control in the most difficult moments. Lord, I pray that you would give us grace when we do it the wrong way. I pray, Lord, that you would give us healing in our relationship with our kids. Lord, I just pray that your grace and your spirit would rest upon the moms and the dads in this room. Father, when we interact with our kids, when our kids misbehave, when our kids act in ways that make us want to lose our minds and pull our hair out, Lord, help us to do battle against the enemy. Help us to do battle against the enemy. I pray right now, Lord, that you would rebuke the assignment that the enemy has on our kids. I pray, Lord, that you would cancel the assignment that the enemy has on our kids. Father, we lift our children up to you right now, and we stand on the promises of your word as we ask you to deliver healing to their bodies, as we ask you to deliver healing to their minds, as we ask you, Lord, to deliver healing to their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would be the hand, that you it would be your hand that holds them, your hand that shapes them, your hand that forms them. Lord, I pray that it would be your hand that protects them. I pray, Lord, that it would be your hand that avenges them as the enemy comes against them. We thank you, Lord, for this most precious assignment that you have given us. And Father, as daily we follow in the steps of Abraham and just place our children on your altar and say, God, these kids are yours. As we do that daily, would you receive them? Would you uphold them? Would you fill them? And would you strengthen them? We thank you for all of these things today in the strong and sufficient name of Jesus. And everybody says, Amen. Amen.